To those concerned in publishing Mount of Blessing. Ashfield, Sydney, New South Wales, Australia. October 4th, 1896. While on my way to attend the Adelaide camp meeting, I've taken time to look more carefully into the little book, Thoughts from the Mount of Blessing. It makes me ashamed and disgusted when I think that right at heart of the work, where there are so many and great interests, work that has been in your hands more than a year should come to me as it has done. It makes my heart ache when I think of the publishing institution. The men who have charge of the different departments are so burdened with responsibilities that they have no time to do correct work, but send to the world such a specimen as this. What impression must this make upon my mind, in view of the things that the Lord has revealed to me in connection with the methods and plans devised for taking up more responsibilities, and your plans in reference to consolidation, taking under your guidance and control all institutions nigh and afar off. You are simply stretching yourselves beyond your measure. You have not the men who are capable of carrying such responsibilities as you have already embraced. There is far more activity in this direction in the various lines of the publishing institution than there is a manifestation of the divine attributes to blend the workers in unity of purpose and action. Self and selfishness has placed its brand upon the sentiments advanced by the workers. They have no union one with another. I've been shown that Satan and his angels, who are doing his bidding, clothed in garments of light, are walking through every room in the office, looking with eager interest upon every branch of the work, urging the workers to present false principles and bring a cheapness into the work to destroy, if possible, the sacred, elevating, ennobling principles of the truth. The hearts of many of the workers are imbued with the same spirit that Satan cherished before his fall and which led to the rebellion in heaven. And he knows just how to bring this about now. For some time, his deceiving power has been coming in and taking the lines of control. Selfish motives have been gradually and almost imperceptibly creeping in, until the objectionable methods and unscriptural principles have become interwoven with the work, and a singular blindness has been the result. Financial embarrassment is upon the work. While long journeys have been undertaken that things might be set in order in conferences at a distance, there was a hundredfold greater necessity for faithful ability to be brought into the work at the greatest center. If there was need of capable men who would work wisely in distant fields, how much greater the need to have most earnest, decided work done right at home, where so large interests are centered. The inconsistency of these things has been clearly presented before me. There has been a departure from clean, pure, righteous principles, until the very senses, the power of discrimination, has become perverted. All have opportunities to witness for God and for His truth in a world of darkness. Christ said to His disciples, "Ye are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savour, wherewith shall it be salted?" Matthew 5, verse 14, 16, 13. This is the condition of the Review and Herald office. The salt has lost its savour. The form of salt remains, but its valuable, preserving properties are gone. That which should be pure and undefiled has become corrupted with selfishness. God will not accept your work unless you become converted and can present to Him an offering in righteousness. Our lifetime is precious, and every action should be considered. It has been granted us that we might, if we will lay hold of it in the right spirit, accomplish a work that will be acknowledged by the Lord as good, enduring as eternity. It is an intensely solemn thing to live in view of the account we must render to God of our time, our talents, and our influence. These are precious things, talents that are not to be buried in the earth, but used. We are not to hide our talents. They are God's entrusted gifts for wise improvement, that they may accumulate in his service, and that at his coming he may receive his own with usury. No man is called by God, in the use of the talents entrusted to him, to lay off his individual responsibility that another man may do his trading for him. To every man God has given his work, and man is accountable to God for how that work is done. The soul that accepts the great trust that God has given him cannot transfer that talent to another. No man can transfer his influence to another person, to serve for him, or to be mind or judgment for him.
We are each in the service of God. He is our teacher, and every lesson he shall give is to be appreciated and acted upon. We are not called upon to give account of our talents to man, but to God. Our mind, our judgment, our tact, our wisdom, all are given to us of God, to be improved for him. And it is God who will call us to account for the way in which we have used his gifts. The human agent, however lofty his position, did not to consider himself ruler over his fellow men. It will be all he can possibly do to live his own life, to make his own record after the principles of God's word. If he will do this, he will not be ashamed to meet that record when he shall give account of himself to God. The period of life in every case is beset with temptation, and it is through faith in Jesus Christ alone that we shall find grace to help in every time of need. But each worker has a life to live, a character to form. Each period of life brings with the passing years some special opportunities for work, and each advancing year must be made use of, improved to the very best of human capability. This, with the aid of divine agencies, will show improvement, advancement, onward and upward, walking step by step in a safe path heavenward. Each day, each hour of life, from childhood to youth, from youth to middle age, and onward to old age, our life history is being as faithfully recorded in the books of heaven as the polished plate of the artist reflects the features of the sitter. Each day, each hour, brings with it advantages which the human agent must improve. We cannot afford to lose a moment by doing careless work for the Lord. We must use our entrusted talents with fidelity, that earnest, honest, pure, clean work may bring glory to God. Nothing less will be accepted by Him. Our work in this world is to reveal the pure principles that are current in heaven. This is the only kind of work that will be acknowledged in the courts of heaven and accepted as pure and holy by the Lord.